Can the Boston Celtics get Jason Tatum at a little bit of a discount? And trading Gordon Hayward if he opts in? Part two of my conversation with Ryan Bernadone right now on this Tuesday Locked On Celtics. Millie's, let's go. Rainy Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hi there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. If you're a regular listener, love having you here, downloading the show Monday through Friday. If you're a new listener, if you're one of Ryan's followers, or if you're just picking up the show, you just randomly found the show, welcome aboard. Hope you're enjoying the conversation here with Ryan. Hope you enjoyed it enough to subscribe by the end of this podcast. You can follow this podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Monday through Friday show, and it's the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world, so I think there's a reason for you to subscribe. So yesterday, we started this conversation. Actually, I had this conversation last week with Ryan, and it was such a nice, good, long conversation. In fact, when I said yesterday I was going to break it down to two shows, it's actually long enough to break down into three shows, because our normal format is somewhere around half an hour for the shows. Try to keep them around half an hour. Sometimes they go a little longer than that. But we talked for over an hour, well over an hour. So I'm breaking it down into three shows because I think there are three kind of distinct conversations that we're having. In today's show, we talk about a potential cap spike because of all of this COVID. Yesterday was all about Gordon Hayward, the fake numbers that the NBA uses, and all of that stuff. If you missed that, go check that out. This conversation continues building on the fake COVID hiatus numbers, but also why that could lead to a cap spike and why Jason Tatum's extension could end up being a little bit cheaper for the Boston Celtics in the long run. It's an interesting conversation. Then opt-in plans, segment two. Ryan's thoughts on trading Gordon Hayward, why trading Gordon Hayward would make sense in that situation. Then segment three, we start on some fake trades, some ideas, some thoughts, the stuff that we're talking about when it comes to potentially trading Gordon Hayward if he were to opt in. So without further ado, let's continue the conversation here with Ryan Bernadone, former Celtics Hub editor-in-chief and salary cap expert. Your ideal Gordon Hayward opt-out is a three-year, $60 to $70 million kind of quote-unquote long-term. And then after that, he can figure it out. And if he does age well, then great. Maybe you bring him back for another 2 years. So instead of that five-year scenario that I've talked about, you do the three-year scenario, and then if he's still good and he still wants to stick around, maybe you've won a title and he can still be a good piece, he's aging well, he can be a spot-up shooter, you sign him for a couple years at whatever is appropriate money at that point. We do have to keep in mind, though, by that point, assuming no new global pandemics, that maybe by then the league's finances are back in order. The fans are back in the stands, that we're in a place where they've recouped their losses and we're back to kind of normal.
So I think actually there's something worth talking about in there. Which is an interesting conversation maybe around what they're going to do with the cap this year. So the reason, one of the reasons, like we said, that they're going to artificially keep the cap at some higher number is that you can't do the math and drop it all the way down to 80 something, right? But again, it's an artificial number. Like once you've decided we're just going to pick a number and we're not running off a formula, like you can pick anything. And the reason they're not letting it drop is because then it would go spiking back up and there would be players who basically got cheated at some point in the middle. But you can make an argument that post-COVID, you expect revenues to go back to what they were tracking to before, right? You could say they thought we were going to have 115 million and then 121 million and then 127 million or whatever. And if you hold it down at 109 or 110, what you're doing is saying, hey, we're going to have a cap spike. When things go back to normal, we're going to have a cap spike because we jacked up the salary cap, but we didn't jack it up all the way to where you would need to be to keep up with year over year revenues. So, right. So when it does catch up, because you didn't go to 115, you went to 109. There's like extra slack being built up, especially if you do it 2 years out. In year three, you are going to have a cap spike if things go truly back to normal. And maybe they never go back to normal entirely. Maybe, I don't know. There's any number of things that could happen in there.
Sure.
But like there is a possibility that what happens here is that Jason Tatum signs a 5-year Rose Rule contract in the year where the second year where numbers are low. And then there's an, you know, artificially low by a little bit. Then things go back to normal. The cap climbs back up. It goes up instead of going up 6%. It goes up 10%, 11%, whatever, all in 1 year. And you've baselined Tatum at a lower number than what's expected. So there is actually this thing where like, if they do what's expected, which is they set artificial cap for the next 2 years, Tatum's extension will be based on that second year, right? And then if it all bumps up a little bit after that, when things do return to more normal and they're not just picking random sort of artificial numbers, you could have Jalen on a little bit of a discount and Jason on a Rose Rule, but a little bit less than it would have been if things had been all normal, and you have a little bit more wiggle room in there. And like, those are the types of odd things that can have a big impact, right? Like 5 years down the line or 3-4 years down the line, whatever it might be, where you suddenly look and be like, how do they have those two players and they still have max space?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because they had this weird little interregnum, right? Where they had to make these numbers up. So it's something worth watching over the next couple of years. It's not something we can predict now, right? This might all be nothing and maybe revenues never bounce back and we're 5 years down the line and people are still aren't comfortable going into arenas. Like all these things are theoretically possible, but it is also possible that they make up cap numbers for 2 years and then everybody is desperate to go to sporting events. You know, COVID goes away and people are like loving being outside. They want to go to basketball games and they're watching sports and all this, and there's a boom in revenue. And you go from artificial numbers to real numbers, and you go from 49% to the players to 51% to the players, and the caps just jumps, and suddenly like it works out really well. It's a possibility that's sort of I've thought about that's floating out there.
Okay, well, see, now that's interesting. Almost reminiscent of, you know, kind of Golden State's kind of.
Yeah, Golden State had a little bit of a, because a lot of that was related to Curry's early career ankle injuries, right? And the numbers there were so big because they were related to the TV deals. It's not to that extent, but it is the sort of thing where if they hold it flat for a year or 2 years, and you're like, I get why you're holding it flat, but boy, you might be setting something up here that you didn't, because we see every time we go through these negotiations, normally for a regular CBA, unintended consequences happen, right? And like, of course, they're unintended. If they had intended them, they would have structured it differently,
sure.
Right?
Right.
You never quite know. This might be totally wrong. Again, maybe it's, who knows how, I'm not an immunologist. I don't know how things will progress, but it is something that I have at least thought about of like, none of this is good. But like in terms of the math and just keeping a spreadsheet, you plug in the numbers for future years and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Look, that's a big step up if you just sort of go back to normal.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. Well, we'll tuck that away because that's something that discussing it now is worth, you know, just when it might happen, like in a couple of years, is something to watch for. I think that that's certainly a possibility, that the scenario that you put out there, that things come back to normal, there's a COVID vaccine, COVID goes away, whatever, and hopefully with some, at the risk of making a political statement, some better leadership is in place that can kind of shut these things down before we need a shutdown to control it, where we'll be in a place where we can kind of keep our sports and normal lives. We'll be back with more from Ryan, including the plans for Hayward if he opts in. First, I want you to opt into logging into rockauto.com when you need to get something for your car. RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for more than 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com right now. Instead of one of those other places, like one of those chain stores that you see a lot in a lot of those strip malls, because you're just going to be telling that person behind the counter all of the stuff that you'll be telling rockauto.com when you enter it yourself into the computer. And you'll be able to choose from a bunch of different brands instead of settling for whatever brands that the chain store carries at whatever price they decide to charge you, because they have different price tiers for professionals versus do-it-yourselfers, which doesn't make any sense to me, okay? RockAuto.com is going to save you a bunch of money on everything that you need, whether it's super technical, like a part for your engine or brakes or something that's beyond my grasp or something that's within my grasp, like tail lamps and motor oil, a new carpet, wipers. So whatever your level of expertise, go to rockauto.com. Go there right now to see all the parts that are available for your car or truck and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box. That's very important because that's how they know we sent you. So make sure you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. We know that getting through the day can be tough. There's always something in the middle of your day that's like a wall that you hit. Or it's after work and maybe you're going to the gym and you've hit another wall and you just can't get that motivation to do what you need to do. I've been there, you've been there, everyone's been there at some point. And what do you reach for? A soda? Some kind of energy drink? No, go to Built Go. It's the same people that make those awesome protein bars, Built Bars. But Built Go is a healthy replacement for that energy drink because the energy is not fake. It's lasting. It's natural. I've been trying them. I've been taking them before I go to the gym. It's, first of all, it's delicious. It's very easy. It's only an ounce and a half package. I can carry it with me for right before I go into workout. I can have it before I get into the car. It's a workout gel that's kind of like a 5-hour energy without that crash feeling. And it's all natural, so it's better for the body. It's like having one of those monster drinks with like a third of the caffeine. Three delicious flavors right now: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein that's fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast and it's easy on my stomach. It's loaded with the good stuff to ignite my workout: beta alanine, B3, honey, and a little kick of that caffeine. It kicks in to keep me going strong with vitamins like B6 and B12. The collagen promotes joints, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. And trust me, I need all the help I can get with that. Go to builtgo.com, use the promo code LOCKED, and you're going to get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. That's down the road. We still have this offseason to worry about. Let's assume, the assumption is that Hayward's going to opt in. Yeah. So if Hayward opts in, now I've talked about running it back and seeing whether the team that you bring back mostly intact is significantly better in the first couple of months of the next season. If they all come back and they're better and things, you know, a lot of things go right, and then you can just stand pat and maybe that's the right way to go. You don't seem to have that same kind of opinion of running it back with mostly who they have.
Yeah. So I don't think that that's the ideal from the way that I view the team. I don't think that it's like a terrible idea, right? There are teams that make terrible decisions. The Knicks make terrible decisions. I don't think that this is a Knicks level terrible decision to do this. There's an argument for it. I am willing to accept that. To me, if you do that, you have a lot of eggs in the, we are going to win the 2021 NBA title basket. Because you can't keep, like, you're very unlikely to be able to afford Hayward beyond this year. If he opts in, you are almost certainly a tax-paying team. You are going to be a repeater tax team in the future. He is not going to be looking, I assume, to give some big hometown discount to stay. If he wanted to do that, he could opt out and do it now. And so the finances of that become difficult and you're very likely losing him. Now, maybe you can recover some manner in a sign-in trade. There are a lot of ways you can do that that we don't really need to talk about at the moment, I don't think. But right, maybe you can recover in some manner. They lost Kyrie Irving and Al Horford and recovered immediately, right? There are circumstances that can work those out. But to me, most likely what happens under these circumstances, he opts in, you play the year, you can think you're going to be able to trade him at the trade deadline. It's really hard to trade $34 million players at the trade deadline. Just aren't a lot of teams who are looking for it. Some of the teams that maybe would be options now because they have a false sense of hope will no longer have a false sense of hope. Teams that have cap space that may be able to facilitate certain things won't have cap space. They won't be able to do that. It's just hard to move. If teams are good, they probably don't want to shuffle the deck that much for that kind of trade. So it becomes hard to move that amount of salary midseason. So you're probably looking at a situation where you're just losing him at the end of the year. And if you do that, again, we get back to that problem of how does that impact the planning for Jason Tatum's prime, right? Okay, so you had a 30-year-old, $34 million player who left for nothing. He's already seen Al Horford leave for nothing. He's already seen Kyrie Irving leave for nothing. Kemba Walker's in his 30s. We don't really know how that's going to play out as he gets there. Like, you risk having a team that has shown degradation and aging when you get to the decision-making time for, hopefully, again, Jason Tatum, hopefully future MVP. And that's what a lot of this is about. Like, if he had been an all-star and just he was the 15th guy on the, or the 12th guy on the all-star team, but he didn't, no real push in the second half of the year, no all-NBA. He looked like he would, it would be a different conversation at that point to me, because you wouldn't be looking at a player who seems like he's like upper echelon, right? It's like Luka and Tatum and then others, right?
Right.
And because he put himself in that upper echelon, he forces you to plan in a different way. And to be fair, I had been making this argument at the last trade deadline, which was sort of in the middle of his leap, that he obviously carried on through the playoffs and things like that. But that's really where I come down on it, is you just have a lot of eggs in that basket. And if you go and win the title this year, then again, it kind of doesn't matter what happens after that, right? The Celtics have won title in a long time. And so you can do that and hang that banner and then not care. But if you don't, there's a really big risk there that plays out in some ugly ways down the line, where you're looking back being like, boy, you know, that 2021 opportunity when it didn't come the way that we thought it would really hurt us. And frankly, to me, if you think that they're going to win the title next year, what you're saying is that you think that Jason Tatum is going to be a top five MVP candidate, which is possible. But like, every title goes to a team with a top five MVP candidate. It's just the way the NBA works. And even if you think that Gordon Hayward is better than what we had, and you look and you say, oh, we had this missed opportunity where we could have gotten to the finals and you never know. But just the reality is, like, LeBron James and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Tim Duncan and Shaq win the NBA titles. And maybe you make it to a fourth conference finals in 5 years, or maybe you make it to the finals, but you really do have to like win the title, or that's a big risk that you took and for not, you know, achieving your goal. And so that's where I come down on the, like, if he doesn't want to sign for an extension, right? You don't trade him for nothing. I'm not saying he's a bad player who you need to dump. You trade him because he is still a good player who teams will see it as a value. There's a lot of teams planning who want cap space when his contract ends anyway. So I think he would be a player who there would be a lot of ways to trade. And I just think, like, the reasonable thing to do is say, you know, it just never worked out and move on.
Right. Do you have any examples in mind of the type of trade for Gordon Hayward that you're thinking of?
Boy, do I.
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
So this is actually something that another thing that I think is interesting here. I don't want people who are listening to this to get tied up like on specific names, right? So I will use names. You podcast every day and you write things. You know that you need to use examples and you need to put names to things.
Sure.
But really what we're talking about is types of players.
Exactly.
Right? Like
exactly.
Player archetypes, and you can go and look at different teams and go and find players who are similar. So if I use names of players who somebody listening doesn't like, I don't, just put in the name of the guy who makes about the same contract who you do like instead, and I don't care. Right.
We're holding you to these exact names, Ryan.
Well, but people will, right? Like, if I put anything online, then you get things back at like, no, I don't like that player. You got to get this. And you're like, I don't really care about the difference between like Vucevic and on Memphis. I'm blanking out now. The other V, you know.
Oh, Valanciunas.
Valanciunas. Right? Like, I don't care. That's not the point I'm making. But we can go through some different types, right? So one that I was using today, earlier on the Twitter, Harrison Barnes is not as good of a player as Gordon Hayward. Nobody is going to say that he is, right?
That's correct.
But he has 3 more years on his contract, descending value. He's a solid veteran, championship experience. Part of the reason that I've thought that it was since last season that it was worthwhile to consider trading Hayward is that, like, some of Hayward's value comes that he plays on the ball. He's a creator. As Tatum steps up more into that role, you have Kemba, you have Smart. Jaylen really needs to expand on that somehow in his game. You can step back a little bit on that and go towards more like certain kinds of defense and spot up shooting and things like that. And so a veteran like that, who's probably going to be decent value 2-3 years down the line when his contract is coming to an end. And you need to make contracts match. So like Nemanja Bjelica has 1 more year, right? So a shooter, a solid veteran, he's going to be your starter. Probably, maybe he doesn't close the game because Smart goes into your starting lineup. Barnes can play small ball 5. Like, he's sort of a good fit structurally. His contract is right. Sacramento at some point is going to want to win games. They aren't an attraction for a lot of different teams. So that type of contract, right? A veteran descending contract, 3 years plus somebody else to make the numbers work. So that's one type. Again, find other veterans who look or like Harrison Barnes. It's fine. Other ways, something you can do in the offseason that you can't do in the regular season, and we'll stick with Sacramento. Bogdanović is a free agent, right? You can do sign-in trades that you can do now. They hard cap you, but Bogdanović is going to make a lot less money than Hayward makes. And if you were to work some sort of sign-in trade where you're getting him, and again, just throw Bjelica in there to make the math work, right? Bogdanović gets 20. Bjelica makes 7, that's 27. You're at the right matching range. You can get yourself under the luxury tax. You don't even need to worry about the hard cap. You can probably get all the way under the luxury tax if you're doing some of these things, right? So you can't do that midseason because you can't do a sign-in trade then. Now, you could trade for him, but the risk of losing him would not be the same, right? So right, now, there's some leverage that he could say, I'm going to go and do this or that, or if he wanted to come to Boston. Again, a good fit, shooter, come off the bench, right? He's not a good player. He's actually a similar archetype to Hayward, but smaller, right? So 2 from Sacramento. I don't know. I have others that we can go through in different types of players, but either of those, any interest to you?
I mean, sure.
Yeah. These aren't great.
So they're not great, right? But like, I have come around to the idea of the not great trade for Gordon Hayward. And I think that's where we are. Like, Gordon Hayward turns into 2 players where you're like, eh, okay. Like, Harrison Barnes, okay. I will say, I do buy the argument that with Jason Tatum ascending and being a more on-ball kind of guy, that if you're going to turn Gordon Hayward into less of a playmaker, if that's the net effect of the other progression around the team, and like you said, Jaylen Brown, I agree with that. He needs to be more of a ball handler. And so if Gordon Hayward does get reduced next year to, well, he's just going to be a more catch and shoot guy, then you're kind of eliminating one of his greatest skills. If you're going to eliminate that skill, then why not turn him into another player or two players where that skill is eliminated anyway. And so what? So fine. You put Harrison Barnes out there, or you put Bogdanović out there like that. I'm building into acceptance of that type of thing. It's not my normal thought process, but I have accepted that I need to evolve my thought process. So I am accepting of these ideas.
Well, it's easier to accept now after the playoffs when we saw Jason go and have 5 assists a game, right? Like,
sure.
It was much more theoretical at the trade deadline where I was saying, like, in order for him to reach the level that you need him to do in order to win the title, again, a real top-tier MVP candidate, you're going to have to give him the ball more. He might fail. He might not be able to handle that responsibility. We don't know. Now I think we do know that he has the capacity to take on that role. So it's much easier to accept that now than it was you know, at the last trade deadline,
right.
Which is great. That's exactly what you wanted. In some ways, Hayward's injury sort of played a similar role to what I was advocating for and saying, you know, taking Hayward out empowers Tatum and lets him try to prove himself in that role. You took Hayward out by injury. Suddenly, you know, it's a lot of the Jason Tatum show. It might've been anyway in the playoffs, but it did sort of change the mechanics of the team at that point.
Right.
And you, some other ones, if you want.
Yes, absolutely. I want those, but I just want to add that making it a more, I don't know what the terminology I want to use here is, but making it less top heavy, I guess, as far as the delineation of talent on this team, where you've got the clear, these are our five best guys. And then the drop off from five to six is just pretty significant, especially since your sixth best player was Daniel Theis, and he just is not the type of player. So your seventh best player, the type of kind of scoring option, like that's you probably want your bench scorers to be just somewhere in between where the Celtics bench is now, which is an obvious thing to say, and where the starters are. So I think there's definitely value to the turn Gordon Hayward into two useful players to kind of fill those roles because of, you know, especially because Jason Tatum's going to take that theoretically step forward. Brown's going to take that step forward, and you're going to be a little bit more top heavy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And part of the challenge there is also something that we've seen, that your best five players, it's great that they're there. The sort of theory of that people have been putting out for years, oh, we can have 5'6" wings and they can all play together. The Celtics didn't have 5'6" wings. They have a point guard who's 6 feet tall and made some of that not work, right, because there's a place to naturally target on the floor on defense. But that sort of idea is great in theory. When the Celtics put it on the court, they didn't put it on the court very often, but it didn't really work. Even in the little bursts that they did, like they went on the court and you immediately were like, they don't have anybody who can protect the rim. The other team has an energy guy who's out rebounding them. And then on the offensive end, you would look and be like, there's a lot of movement, but there's nobody to set a screen, right? There's nobody who's a good screen setter out there who's helping anybody. There's nobody who knows how to roll to the hoop. It's all just sort of handoffs between two guys who the defense is fine switching all the time because they're all kind of similar-ish players there, right? So if you have the five best guys and then a big drop-off and the five best guys can't really play together, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So can you shuffle things around and add some bench depth and things like that? So I will jump into the next one, which is a similar idea. It follows along that. It's not all that different from the Harrison Barnes one, but it flips the roles maybe. So Barnes, the better player that you're receiving, 3 years, and Bielitsa making significantly less money for only one more year. You can go to the Orlando Magic, where I think there's a lot of interesting things to talk about there. They're a good team to use this for. Again, if you want to pick another team, I don't care. But this is a fine example. Like, people listening, pick your favorite team here. You can expect that Evan Fournier is going to opt in, $17 million, only one more year. And they have Terrence Ross, noted Celtics killer, not as good against any other team. But Fournier is a smaller version of some of what Hayward gives you, right? He's sort of a creator and a shooter. He's not as good of a defender, but he would likely be coming off the bench anyway. You would just play the playoff starting five with Smart starting and Theis out there. Terrence Ross, a seventh, eighth man behind. He's the one who has a three-year contract. Again, it's descending. It's not as much value, so it doesn't have as much potential trade equity 2 or 3 years down the line. But again, you're going to be further under the luxury tax. You're going to have a little bit more flexibility maybe to add other things in the future, to use the MLE, to do some things like that a little bit down the line, because the money works out a little differently. But really what you're adding is two offensive-minded bench scorers to the team that made it to the conference finals, right? So the team before Hayward returned, you take that team functionally, you add in Fournier, a good bench scorer, Ross, not a great player, but a very good shooter. And you kind of cut some money and you shuffle things around, and that's the team. It's very similar to the, like I said, to the Harrison Barnes idea, but it's guards instead of a power forward, and you flip who's getting paid longer. The better player has the shorter contract in that structure, but it's the exact same idea, exactly what we're just talking about, stretching out your lineup, finding guys who fit into a different way. So that's another idea.
Okay.
Other ones from the Magic, one quick one, again, a name that I said before, Nick Vucevic. If you really think the team should be spending a lot of money on a big man, I do not.
No, I do not either.
But 3 years, the length we're looking for, descending contract, makes less than Hayward. If you want to turn, we have too many wings and you want a center, maybe there's something that can be worked on there.
We've got a lot more when it comes to the fake trades for Gordon Hayward and a couple of different ways to think about the trades for Gordon Hayward. So I'm going to cut off the conversation here and wrap up today's show. Tomorrow's show is going to be mostly the fake trades and all of that. So make sure you come back tomorrow for part three, the final part of my conversation with Ryan Bernadone. It was a great conversation. I thought yesterday's podcast came out really well. I thought today's podcast was pretty good. Ryan is really, really good. Like, he's a great guest to have on because he really understands the salary cap. He understands team building, and he understands it at a level that I don't think most fans do. And which is, as we said yesterday, it's fine to not want to go that deep. But I think if you're listening to the podcast, if you're listening to this podcast now in this weird off season, you're still interested in this, then you're still interested in this kind of stuff. This is the stuff that makes all of us better at consuming basketball and understanding basketball. And let me tell you, I'm learning as Ryan's talking too. So it's actually teaching me a little bit of a different angle on some of the basketball stuff that I've had a pretty good grasp on, but it's just a new way of thinking. And I think it's great. So if you're new, please subscribe and you'll get tomorrow's show right to your device when it posts. If you are a regular listener, you know what to do. A 5-star rating, a good written review would be amazing. It really helps the podcast. It helps me with the advertisers because I don't ask you for money. This show is daily and it is free. So my money comes from these advertisers like the people at Built Go, like the people at Rock Auto. And if you keep rating and keep sharing and keep writing those good reviews, then I keep getting those ads and I get paid to do this job. So please do that. And of course, share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.